welcome to the Noontime Public Affairs here on 88.1 KAFM, Grand Junction, Colorado. And congratulations to all the raffle winners for the raffle fundraiser for KAFM. And that's a great cause, obviously, because it's supporting your folks here at KAFM Radio. And speaking of KAFM Radio, my name is Rick Castellini.
And I am Adam Cochran.
And we are your monthly tech duo that comes in and talks about anything technology related. You can give us a call at 970-241-8801, extension 1, or you can tweet us. We're
right.
Starting to use Twitter more and more. You can tweet at either Talking Digital, at Talking Digital, or tweet at Help Me Rick, and we'll get those questions and we'll answer as many as we can throughout the 40 or so minutes we have here for today's show, because we had the raffle.
The party is still going on.
The party
can't tell.
On.
The party is. It's.
I'm
a
not
party.
Sure how much are these directional mics or are they. What's
no, they're on? They're fine. They're in front of us, but I imagine a little bit of picks up. It's
a little
not
background noise,
they're,
but they're used to it with KFM. That's okay.
That's right.
That's part of the community radio. It's a community. It's Ubuntu.
Yes.
And speaking of Ubuntu, we have a couple of things we want to talk about this month on today's show. And again, in addition to your calls, you always take precedence. So if you call in at 241-8801 or you tweet at Talking Digital or at Help Me Rick, we'll get those on first. Otherwise, it's Adam and I talking. Oh, and by the way, all of our information is at our website at helpmerick.com. You can visit helpmerick.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and get all the information and all the news that you need to know about technology. All right, the big news item, I think the biggest news item that came out in the past month since we've been on there, to me, I think, and I'll let Adam vote on it, is Google's announcement that they are moving into the operating system business.
I think so.
I think that's pretty big.
Yep.
And to define what an operating system is, that's the software that you need on a computer to be able to make it run. You can't do anything with a computer without an operating system. The most common operating system is Windows. So probably 90%+ of people own and operate Windows on their computers. That is your operating system. And you've heard of Macintosh computers. They have the Apple operating system, or what's called the Mac OS. And the new version, what's that newest one? 10.6? Is that the newest one?
No, it's... You know what? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
I think it's 10.5 still. I think 10 Snow Leopard is coming, but I don't think it's rolled out yet. I think it is. I feel bad because normally I keep track of that, but just kind of halted my Mac knowledge for a week or so and month or so, and I haven't gone back to it.
Well, because Google Chrome shadowed it for you.
Right. That's right.
And you heard us talk in the past about Linux and Ubuntu. That's another type of operating system. Well, Google announced just last week that they are throwing their hat into the ring of operating systems and are going to come out with a Linux base. So it really isn't going to be a new operating system. It's going to be their flavor of a Linux operating system.
Right.
Because Linux is open source, meaning it's free. You can take the kernel, which is the basis of the operating system, and massage it any way you can. Adam has been working feverishly in his basement with tons and tons of Jolt.
Yeah.
Trying to get a Castellini Cochran Linux version going.
Yeah.
That'd be a real catchy phrase.
Yeah.
Castellini
Cochran Linux build.
Version 0.2.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but you can do that. If you have that knowledge, you can customize it and make it whatever you want. And so Google is doing their own.
Yeah.
And they're going to base it on they're naming it after their browser, Chrome, which
you know
is their
what
browser.
It almost sounds like to me, and this is actually just a guess. This is only based on basic reading.
Well,
I've
we don't
done,
know a lot about it, yeah.
Because we don't know a lot about it. Nobody does. But we're told that it's a browser-based operating system.
Mm-hmm.
I almost suspect, here's what I'm thinking. I'm wondering if it is similar to your Crunch Bang, Splash Top. I'm wondering if it's kind of similar to that, to where it's an OS, but basically, you get into the browser, and then you do everything from there.
Exactly.
We've got a telephone call. Let's pick him up. Hi there. Welcome to KFM Public Affairs. Oh, technology talk with Rick and Adam. How are you doing?
Pretty good. This is Larry calling in.
Hey, Larry.
Portland, Oregon.
Hey, great to hear from you. How's the weather up in Portland this week?
Well, it's pretty good today.
Good. Well, how can
we
help
you? I had a question about, I'm thinking about dropping a Blu-ray burner into my XP computer. Wondered if you had any...
What do you want to do with the Blu-ray?
Well, I didn't know. Are you able to play PS3 games on a PC
no.
if you have a Blu-ray?
Nope. No, you have to have a PS3. That's the only way. I mean, the hardware is dedicated to that.
And we were kind of talking about operating systems.
Yeah.
PlayStation has its own.
Yeah, has its own
proprietary operating system.
And own proprietary chipset. The Blu-ray PS3 games will only play on their what's called their cell processor. So if you have a Pentium processor in there or a Core 2 Duo or an AMD, it won't play just because the hardware isn't right. It has to be a PlayStation 3 to play those games.
Okay, well then let's go with another question.
Okay.
I've got an external 1 gigabit, one gig hard drive. Or no.
One terabyte.
One terabyte. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Got to throw that tera in there now. Gigas are small.
Yeah. And when I plug it into my computer, if I go to my computer, I don't see the external drive. If I go to the hardware list, in the control panel, I do see it, but it's like it's not
there. Now, you mentioned you have a Windows XP computer.
Yeah.
How old is the Windows XP? How old's the computer?
Well, it's probably 3 years old.
Well, it's not that old then, so that should be doing it. The only one thing I'm thinking is the terabyte drives, that, again, that's fairly new.
Uh-huh.
There are some BIOSes that don't recognize larger than like 500 gigabytes. So
also, what I did is I tore apart my Seagate Free Agent 500 gig drive to drop uh-huh. that in there.
Sure.
To use it as an interface, and yep. I don't know if maybe that's got limitations too.
It's possible. It's very so. You hacked an existing 500 gigabyte external drive and put another 500 gig in next to it. Is that what you did?
No, I took apart the 500 gig and dropped the 1 terabyte in it.
Oh, I see. So you bought a 500 gigabyte external hard drive.
Yeah.
And then you took out that hard drive and put in the 1 terabyte.
Correct.
Okay, then it's very, very yeah. possible that the controller on the hard drive, since it was a commercial hard drive,
yeah.
the controller was built to only understand the 500 gig.
Yeah, and it's not that difficult of a problem to get around, though. What you want to do is go on to eBay or go into Amazon or Newegg and just get a hard drive enclosure. And they can cost as little as 10 or 15 bucks, 20 bucks. You can get an enclosure that basically is a universal enclosure that will turn any hard drive into an external hard drive.
Okay.
But that enclosure that was built for that Seagate probably will only work with the chips that are on that particular hard drive.
Okay, and do we got time for one more question?
One more.
Go for it.
Last one. This one will cost you a dollar, but we'll okay. answer it.
On Google Chrome, it will play, like if I go to CNET, it'll play the videos, which I thought were Flash.
Right.
But if I go to Twit or TomGreen.com, it's using that BitGravity player, it won't play the video, just the sound. I'm wondering if there's a plug-in for Google Chrome.
Probably not. If you're using something proprietary like BitGravity, even like Real, and there's, you know, some of the more minor characters in video and audio playback don't have plugins yet for Chrome. And that's why Flash is going to be obviously your best bet if they have the Flash available. Otherwise, you're going to have to use Firefox or Internet Explorer.
Yeah, that's what I've been
at least right now. Right. I think that we're going to start to see, especially now that Google has announced, maybe that's one of their things, Adam, that they've announced they're going to come out with an OS based on Google Chrome. That's going to kind of light a fire under the developers to make sure that their products are compatible with Google Chrome.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of a...
No, it's one of those things. I think, are you using Linux or are you using Windows? What,
Windows XP.
You're using Windows XP? I think as much as there's so many extra little Flash players out there and other media programs like a VLC player and things
VLC
like that.
VLC was just released 1.0 this week.
Right. There's,
which is big.
I think there's some good extra ones out there, but to me, Flash 10 or the Flash plugin, that's one that you have to have on your system. It just everything runs and plays a little bit better if you have Flash installed. A lot of the YouTube stuff will play even if you don't have Flash proper installed on your computer. But I think you have to have Flash installed just to keep everything running right.
All right. Well, great show and keep it up.
Well, you appreciate you calling in. Have a good day.
Bye.
So that was a call from Portland, Oregon, and you can call as well by calling 970-241-8801, extension 1, and we'll get you on there just like we did, I forgot his name, Tom?
Tom, sure.
We'll call him Tom.
It wasn't Tom, but yeah.
Paul? Ringo?
Sure. George. Yeah.
We appreciate his call, though. Portland. We're not good with names, but
from
we are good
from that caller
questions.
From Portland.
There you go.
There you go.
So give us a call, 241-8801. I did get a tweet question.
Yes.
And this is from Kim in Philadelphia.
Okay, I'm ready.
And she says, what is the meaning of life?
Oh.
And in my mind, right? The meaning of life is the iPhone 3G. All right, we'll take this next call.
All right, let's move on. Hi there, you're on KFM Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
Hello there, this is Brian. I have a question. I've got two computers right now. One's running Vista, and the other one's running XP. And I'm getting a message now that I might have a pirated version of the software.
Yeah. Ah, which one, the XP or the Vista?
Both of them.
Oh, they're both.
They're both doing it, and I think what happened between wife and employees, they clicked on a Windows update or something.
Yep.
And the research I found is that it's quite a lengthy process to go back through and revalidate.
Yeah.
Well,
your system.
It's not too lengthy. If these are legitimate copies, as far as you know.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Then it's not too bad.
Can
get around
I think what you can do is if there's a phone number, if you just go to Adam, you might be able to find it real quick. If you just search for...
Well, it gives it to you. When you go through and it says it's hacked or whatever, it gives you a phone number to call, and they give you a long string of numbers.
You've got to read them a string, and then they'll read you back.
Exactly. It is about a 10 to 20-minute process per computer, but it's not terrible. It's real easy to do. Just take it slowly as you go through.
Yeah, because it's a voice recognition. They'll make you read the numbers that are on your screen to a computer. And then they verify like every fourth or fifth number, and then they'll read back to you like a 25-digit number that you have to enter in on your computer, then you're good to go.
So is this something that Microsoft is doing just to make sure, you know, to get rid of pirated software?
No, because the thing is, we can't see what you're seeing. We're not even sure if it is truly coming from Microsoft. That may be your next bet, is you need to validate in your own mind, is this from Microsoft? Because it could be, maybe it's one of these new trickery things. I just saw a client this morning who had a fake spyware antivirus program that looked exactly like AVG.
Yeah.
If you weren't a little bit savvy about technology, you would thought you were looking at AVG, and it was asking you to pay for things, and you had problems with your computer and this, that, and the other. So you may be running into that, but we can't see what you're seeing.
Exactly. Well, you described it pretty well what I saw. But I was hesitant to do it because I was afraid it might be some sort of a spyware.
Well, here's the thing. If they ask for a credit card number, you know something's wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the process we're explaining is a free, easy-to-do process.
Well, and the other thing, too, with XP, I'm not sure on Vista, but with XP, if you're not validated, there's a little key. It looks like a little Schlager key or Schlegel or whatever the name of that.
Skeleton key.
Yeah. No, it doesn't look like a skeleton key. It looks like a regular lock key. Down in the tray by your clock. And that's where you have to click to do your validation. If you don't see that key down there, then maybe what you're seeing is not what you think you're seeing.
Well, and I was kind of surprised because one computer was at work and one is a laptop at home and two different operating systems.
Right.
And I'm getting the same thing and I'm going, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here?
At the same time. That's odd.
Yeah.
That's odd. That's the only thing that's kind of keeping me a little bit reserved about what you're seeing.
Yeah.
If you could take a screenshot of it, if you know how to do print screen and make a graphic out of your screen.
Sure.
If you want to do that and make a JPEG and send it to us at our webpage at helpmerick.com, then we could verify what you're seeing.
But at least you guys validated that it's out there and it's happening now.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, thank you for your help.
Appreciate the call. Have a good day.
You as well. Bye.
241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number, 241-8801, extension 1. And Adam,
yes,
I'm going to ask you as a friend and a colleague.
Okay, I'm ready.
Have I become an iPhone fanboy in the last 10
months?
Yeah, pretty much. Do you think I have?
Pretty much,
Would you consider me a fanboy?
Yeah.
Really? I've gone that far?
Well,
I may be. I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
Here's
why it's hard to tell. Because the iPhone does so many things that a regular phone won't. Mm-hmm. The place where we'll determine whether you're a fanboy or not is when another phone comes out that's cheaper, runs better, does more things, but you refuse to give up your iPhone. That's where you
draw the line.
It's hard to say because when you have a device that works better, then then it's hard to tell whether you're a fanboy or not. The fanboys, I always clarify a fanboy as somebody who lets go of all common sense and okay, supports good. Their product, even if
I haven't done that product, yet.
No, no, okay, not yet. Good. I think you're okay.
Good.
All right. Welcome to KFM Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
Hi. I have a Macintosh.
Oh, yeah, good. What's your name?
Pardon me?
What's your name?
Jude.
Hi, Jude.
Hi. I have a
Don't
Macintosh,
make it bad.
And I have a couple of questions that... is there anything on the Mac that automatically defrags the disk, or do I have to buy extra software for that?
That's a good question. Generally, you don't have to worry about it. Generally.
Okay.
But
and there are no
the
tools.
Yeah, there really aren't that many utilities built into Mac, so a lot of people do buy a separate set of utilities, and I can't think of what it's called. System tools, something tools.
Yeah. Adam's going to look it up for us to see if there's I know there's a few defrag tools you can download out there, but here's the scoop with defrag on a Mac or on a PC. Doesn't matter what you're using. If you are not creating and deleting literally hundreds of files a day. Now we do that a little bit with just internet browsing, because there's a lot of small files that come up and go away with internet browsing. But I'm talking about creating Word documents, creating Excel documents, working a lot with photos, and you've created all those things, and you're doing that 6 to 8 hours a day. If you're not in that department, then defrag is really an overused utility that doesn't need to be used on any platform.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people, I think a lot of people like to talk about it, and a lot of people like to do it because it's something that they've heard at some point in their life, and they've decided that the defrag kind of sounds kind of fun. They used to like to look at the little things moving across the screen. But in reality, it does very little.
Okay. And I have another question.
Sure.
I just wanted to kind of do a general cleanup of my hard disk, and I found two, I think they're shareware things, Leopard Cache Cleaner and Clean My Mac.
I've seen the Clean My Mac one.
Any opinions on that or any other?
Well, and again, that's what we were talking about with the creation of temporary files and things like that that are running behind the scenes. And you can do those things internally in your browser. Like if you're using Safari or if you're using Firefox, you can go into the preferences of those browsers and clean the cache manually. What the Clean Your Mac kind of does is cleans it out for you, does a more automated version, and it goes into some of the temporary areas of the Mac operating system and cleans those out as well. So yeah, those aren't going to hurt your computer. They can only help your computer a little bit. Whether they're necessary or not.
And whether you see a major improvement is going to be different too. The program that I'm thinking of, our website is really slow here. And one of the problems with Rick and I is we're computer help guys, and we don't see enough Macs with problems to log this stuff into our permanent memory. But if you go to store.apple.com, that's just the Apple website, and go to their software section, there is a software program that is a utilities disk that most Mac people that I know use. It has a picture of like a hammer and some tools on it. It's kind of a yellow box, and I'm trying to get my website to load. So as soon as I come across it, we'll mention it.
Okay.
I've got to wait for this website to load. We just have terribly, terribly slow internet.
So do you have an Apple laptop or an Apple desktop?
It's a desktop.
Okay, good.
And only about a year and a half old.
Good. Has it given you any problems up to now?
Not really.
So I would keep on doing what you're doing. Was there any reason why you thought you needed to do a defrag?
Oh, I've done them in the past, and
on your PC or on other Macs?
No, on a Mac. We've almost always had a Mac.
Oh, good.
And I've just done them in the past, but I didn't want to buy more software if I didn't need it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy it. Okay. I'd wait until you really need it.
Okay, sounds great.
And it's
great.
Still loading, but I haven't found it. But I'll let you know as soon as I run across it.
Okay. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. We did have another caller, but they
We don't know
up,
how to put people on hold.
I
so
tried.
Unfortunately,
I tried to transfer it and put them on hold, but
I know, but it doesn't work.
Didn't go
great. So give us a call back if you were on the line there. 241-8801 extension 1 is the phone number. We're here for about another 20 minutes. I got a tweet back from Kim in Philadelphia. She said that "boo, the meaning of life cannot be any Apple product."
Oh.
So I told her my second answer might be WordPress.
That's probably a good answer. WordPress is excellent. If you want to start a blog, we should talk about that at a future show. But
that would
if you
be
want
a good
to start
one.
A blog, WordPress is our favorite by far as means of doing it.
And that's from years of
Blogger's
hammering.
Blogger's a close second, but WordPress is so nice.
I hear you. All right, 241-8801, extension 1. That's area code 970-241-8801, extension 1. Or you can tweet questions to us at Talking Digital or at Help Me Rick.
Are you ready?
You finally found it?
I think it's this one. I think this is it. Tech Tool Pro.
Tech Tool Pro.
It's a $100 program.
Oh, wow.
But it does a great job. I've needed to use it when I was trying to reformat an old PC hard drive to put on a Mac. No matter what I tried with the PC, with the Mac disks that came in the box, it wouldn't format it right. Mm-hmm. And
this little tool did it.
This did it great, and it did do stuff like defragging and stuff like that. So cool.
The other place I do send Mac users to when they have a specific question like that is go to the Apple forums.
Mm-hmm.
The Apple forums are great for getting information like that. They'll, you're going to find not only the Apple fanboys, to use our previous term, but also the Apple support people do cruise and answer questions in that same forum. So it's a great place to get that kind of feedback.
Here, the my definition of fanboy is somebody who still uses Norton. That's kind of what I'm explaining. That,
okay.
That it's somebody that even though all evidence points to it being shoddy software,
I gotcha.
Still hold on to it even though it's not,
That's a good definition. I like that definition.
That's kind of where I fit.
All right. Now, we were talking about Google Chrome. Again, feel free to call in or tweet us. We will answer those questions. You might want to check your Twitter, Mr. Adam, see if you got any, at Talking Digital. My Twitter's at Help Me Rick. We were talking about Google Chrome, and we were talking about what it might be. And we both wrote articles about Google Chrome, as thousands of other people did around the world. And Adam mentioned a couple products. He's wondering if it's similar to it. And in my article, I actually went a step further and said, I wonder if Google is going to team up with one of these companies that have already done what Google says they want to do and try to merge their idea with their idea.
I think it's going
to
be the other way around. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if there's a version of Linux. We're getting kind of geeky here, but a version of Linux that Intel has been working on. And they're working on Moblin. Yeah, Moblin. That's what I'm talking about.
And
Moblin,
its base, their browser is Chromium.
And that's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. I really think that Intel, we know that Intel had a little bit to do with Chrome.
Right.
I kind of think that the announcement's going to come forward. I think Moblin is going to become Chrome, or Chrome will become Moblin.
Right.
They'll become
kind of
Goblin, something. Who knows what will happen. But I really think those two are going to merge, because Moblin, what it wants to become is an instant-on browser or an instant-on OS that does all the things, and it runs really slim. It's very small, very browser-based. I really think that those two things are going to become one thing. I just would surprise me if they didn't.
And Windows is not going to go away. And this is not, and Google himself has said, we're not out there to supplant Windows. But Windows, I think, and I wrote in my article again, is that I think Windows has overrun their bounds.
Yeah.
When Windows first came out, computers were primarily in businesses. And as computers went into people's homes, Windows filled the need to have an operating system in the home too, because there wasn't a lot of other alternatives. There was the Mac OS out there. But at the time, early 90s, the Mac computers were still, I would say at that time, Adam, almost twice as expensive as a PC.
Oh, yeah.
That time.
Yeah.
And so Macintosh computers just did not fit the need for a lot of home users. So to get a little more economical computer in people's homes, Windows became the operating system. But at the same time, because Windows now started out as kind of a business tool, branched into the home, real large, obviously, into the home, or 90%+.
Right.
And then now they're also trying to cater to businesses, they're almost, in my mind, they're out there in too many places.
Right.
And so where I see Google Chrome and Linux and some of these other operating systems that are coming out there and Linux derivatives is that the home user, and Adam and I see thousands of people a year here in the Grand Valley, I'm going to easily say that 90%, and it might even be a little bit higher, of the people that I see primarily do email, internet, digital photography, the occasional word processing document, they don't do a whole lot of it, even less occasional spreadsheet, and what else am I thinking of? There's not much else.
I can't think of anything, really. I mean, some
maybe
of them
music.
Listen to music.
Maybe
music,
some music
is another one.
And but that's even maybe less than spreadsheet for a lot of people that I do.
Right.
And for those finite amount of things that they're doing, finite amount of skills that they need, the Windows operating system almost does too much and requires, unfortunately, more and more tech savviness to be. Well, we had the gentleman that called in. He's not sure whether this is a legitimate pop-up ad that's telling him he doesn't have legitimate Windows.
Yeah.
And this morning I had a client, a business client, who had a fake antivirus software come up and say that he was infected.
Right.
When in fact this is what was infecting his computers.
Yeah.
And that's where these more simple, almost appliance-like operating systems, I think, can fill that need.
Right.
All right.
All right, let's go to the phones. Hi, this is Rick and Adam with KFM Public Affairs. What can we do for you?
My parents have a Windows 98.
Wow.
And they were using a VAST. Mm-hmm. They were using AVG.
Right.
And I tried to get rid of AVG off of it, and it wouldn't work. Can I just go ahead and install a VAST on top of AVG?
Well, you can, but there's also an AVG removal tool. If you just go to Google, and I think I have the link on our website at helpmerick.com, but go to Google for sure and just and type in AVG removal tool. Cool. And AVG has a nice little utility that you can download, real small. I think it's less than a half of a megabyte. And you just run that tool, and it'll go through and clean out the directories, clean out the registry that the Windows 98 or the AVG created, and that should clean it up for you.
Okay. Real good. Well, thank you very much.
You bet. No
You're
problem.
Very welcome. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number.
One of my favorite tools along those lines that I carry on my little flash drive.
Revo Uninstaller.
Revo Uninstaller. Mm-hmm. R-E-V-O Uninstaller.
Same people that make C-Cleaner.
C-Cleaner and another one called Recova.
For the photo
edit. Recova. Yeah. Well, for everything. I've used it to recover all kinds of stuff. So. It you know those that whatever that company is, if you download their software and it does well for you, donate them $20. It is really, I mean, they are amazing, and I hope they stay in business forever.
They write real simple software.
They give
small
me three
software.
Programs I use on a weekly basis, and they're just excellent programs.
It's like ComboFix. I try to donate to him about every quarter at
Combo
least
Fix
because
is incredible.
It saves a lot of time and
yep.
a lot of time and energy. Great question. There are a few Windows 98 users out there. Still, yeah. I mean, I have probably a half
Well, that
dozen.
Just explains exactly what we're talking about. The operating system, whether you're using Windows 98, Windows XP, Windows Vista, Windows Vista Home Premium, Windows Vista Pro, Windows Vista Business, Windows Vista Ultimate,
Windows Vista Basic, Special Autograph Edition.
That's right. The red box of Windows Vista, whatever it was that they had that. Yeah, it's... You know, the operating system doesn't matter.
Anymore, it does not.
It just doesn't even matter. And let me give you a quick example. To install Microsoft Office, mm-hmm. you put the disk in the drive, mm-hmm. then you wait for it to start up, then you say that you want to install it, then you click yes or I agree, but watch out for checkboxes because then it might install something you don't want it to. You have to tell it that you want it to do a complete install. Mm-hmm. Then you have to click next, and the process takes about 20 minutes. Once it's installed, then you start it up, and then it asks you what your initials are, and it asks you all kinds of that, and you have to type in the little 25-digit code, and you have to activate it.
Right.
Okay? To create a document in Zoho, you go to zoho.com and click on Word Processor.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Any computer in the world, and there's your document. If you want to get to your documents all the time, you can create a Zoho account or a Google Docs.google account, mm-hmm. but it's a website. You go to a website, you use
the
program.
Which you know how to use. People know how to use the web.
That's it. And that is the difference, and that... You know, why bother installing all these programs on your computer? I have an 8 gig flash drive or an 8 gig hard drive in my little laptop that I carry with me, and I don't even have it half full.
Right, because you're doing most of your stuff in the browser.
It's all on the web, yeah.
And that's what Adam and I were talking. We had lunch together before we came to the show, and there was a tech blog that I read fairly frequently, but they had a tweet of one of their new articles, which was about. Netbooks. And netbooks is like what Adam's talking about, his small little computer, and I have a little small little computer. And we started using them before they were even called netbooks, and they have a very, very small operating system on them, usually. And you do almost everything in the browser. You're checking your email, you're looking for maps, you're looking at hotels, you're looking at all that kind of stuff. And you don't really even think about what the operating system is. But unfortunately, Microsoft has been around long enough and Windows has been around long enough that a lot of people get put a big hurdle in front of themselves when they try to move even to a Macintosh computer or these little netbooks when they first came out had versions of Linux on them. And because the first screen, which is known as the desktop, is a little different than what they're used to and they're not quite sure, it just throws people off. And that's what we're talking about, the opportunity for Google and We made reference to Intel's coming out with a system called Moblin. These alternative operating systems that are a little bit more kiosk-like, I guess you could say, are going to make the computer more like an appliance. And that's what I find people tell me they want. They just want their computer to work. They don't want to have to mess with updates. They don't want to have to mess with knowing how to get a security product off. What is a real security product? Should I spend $80 on a security product? The guy at Best Buy told me that I need to spend $90 on a product. And if I buy I had a client yesterday that the salesperson at a large box store here in town said that if you're using the free version.
A big box store?
Yeah, big box.
Big box.
With the initials BB.
Yeah.
Told my client that if she's using the free version of a security software.
Yeah.
That she's not protected.
Right.
And that she needs to bring her computer in there. Allow the GS to charge them about $160 to take it off and put on their system.
Optimize it. Was it optimized?
Yeah, that could
be.
But anyway, nobody wants to mess with that. They want their computers to work like a toaster.
Yeah.
A toaster is simple. You put the bread in, push it down. Most people never even adjust how brown the toast is.
No.
A lot of people don't even know that's on there.
Yeah.
It's that's a toaster. Right.
They leave it the same all
the
time. They
leave it the same. Out of the box, it was probably on the middle selection.
I think there should be a question. Do you want it to toast? And you'd say yes. The initial setup of your toaster. Do you want it to toast? Yes or no?
Screen.
You say yes. Do you want it to burn the toast? No. Okay, that's it. That's all it should have to be. You either want it to toast or you want it to burn it. There's somewhere in between there.
Or you just push the button.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
And that's what people want for their computers.
If it's not brown enough, you push it down again. If you smell smoke, you push the little lever up. That's it.
If you have some good common sense.
That's right.
All right. Well, 241-8801 extension 1. Am I full of beans? Is it that you really like Windows? There are people that need Windows.
Yeah.
There are people that have to use Windows. And God bless them, that's what it's out there for. If you have proprietary software that's been developed for your company, you have to use it.
Right.
If you're using third-party software like QuickBooks or...
Well, CAD, I think, is a good example of that.
Exactly.
QuickBooks, from what most people do, you can go to QuickBooks online and do it on the internet for free.
That blows people's minds.
Almost for free. $99 a year if you do it a lot, so...
And that's cheaper than buying the upgrade every year.
Yeah. And
don't get me started. I think we could do a whole hour, maybe we'll do it next month, on cloud computing.
Yeah.
And what that is.
Free stuff or stuff you don't have to install. Hi, you're on KFM Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. We're talking about computers and stuff. What can we do for you?
Well, I think I have a simple fix, but
good.
I don't know how to do it. I'm operating a Vista with Microsoft. And I went out and bought a new monitor, 21.5 inch.
Sure.
Okay.
And all of my pictures that are in my computer are now stretched.
Yeah,
everybody looks like they're in a circus.
Everybody gained about 40 pounds or more in the pictures.
Yeah, they're like short and fat.
Yeah. What's probably going on there? Now, is your video card built into your computer or is it, I mean, can you tell the place where you plug your monitor?
I had a gentleman actually build my computer from ground up, so it's not an over-the-counter.
Okay.
So it probably has a standalone video card.
Probably. How old is the computer?
He just rebuilt it about 6 or 7 months
ago. Okay, good. Then what you'll probably need to do is, you may be able to go into the video settings. Have you tried the little slider just going into your...
got to right-click on the desktop.
Yeah, right-click on your desktop
and go to personalize.
Yep.
And then under personalize, you go to...
Settings, I think.
Is it settings? Or is it screen size?
Personalize Windows color appearance, desktop background, screensaver, sounds, mouse, theme, display settings.
Display settings,
that's it.
Okay.
Still don't have Vista memorized.
It's always the last one. Yep.
And now under that, number 1 is real big and number 2 is faded in the background.
Okay, yeah, and that's fine. But there should be a little slider bar down at the bottom that says what are the numbers there?
Resolution slider bar, low and high.
And what's it currently on? What's the numbers?
Right now it's on...
should say like 1024 by 768 or...
Oh, I got you.
1280 by 1020.
It is... 1280 by 1024.
Okay, does that bar slide any more to the right?
Yes.
Slide it all the way to the right.
Okay, got it.
And now what's the number?
1920 by 1080.
That's what you want.
Now click apply and you should see. Now, go ahead and hit apply and then we'll tell you that everything that's happening is normal.
Okay, do you want to keep display, yes.
Yep. Oh, no, everything's small now.
And then, okay.
Yep, now is everything really small?
Yeah, it is smaller.
Okay, what you'll have to do if you want to make it bigger.
Well, but first, oh, go open a photo.
Okay, good.
And see if the photo looks better.
This is so awesome, you guys.
Yeah, we're that way.
All right, let's see. Oh, he's looking trim again.
Good. Now, if you want everything to be a little bit bigger, you can go into your video settings in there, and there is a place under that same area. Right-click on the desktop and go to Personalize.
Okay.
There's a place in there where you can make the fonts 120 pixels instead. Or it'll ask you what size you want the fonts to be, I think. I don't have Vista here in front of me.
Or on that first Personalize setting, on the left-hand side, it'll say... I think it says increase font size.
Yeah, something like that. There's places to make your fonts bigger. There's places. The other thing, too, on Vista, if you hold down the shift key on your desktop, if you hold down the shift key, I think it's shift, and spin your mouse wheel, the icons get bigger on the desktop. I think it's shift and spin the mouse wheel. If not, try
control. That's only the desktop, though.
Only on the desktop, but still, that's where a lot of people's icons are, and they notice how small they are.
Right.
It'll make them bigger on the desktop. And then if you're not using... Firefox or Google Chrome, download one of those browsers, and you can make the fonts bigger on any web page by holding down shift and spinning that mouse wheel.
Oh, sweet.
Okay.
Hey, guys, you're great. What can I say?
Well, appreciate it. Spread the word.
Help you.
Spread the word.
Thanks,
visit helpmerick.com. That all helps us.
Okay, great.
All right, thanks.
All
right, bye.
One last quick question. We all got to be off the air here in a second, but we have a Twitter question from @TaskAssistant.
Yep.
And she's asking, would you store your Google app documents online or also back them up to your hard drive? I leave them all online.
Yep, me too.
I do have to say that I use the Zoho and the Google Docs for, at least right now, a little bit non-critical documents.
Yeah.
But they do the backup for you. If they have a little burp with their server or something, they've got so much redundancy that it is there. It is safe. It's all password protected. But to me, it's the way to go because you don't even have to worry about the backup because they're doing it for you.
Yeah.
If it's something extremely, extremely important, you can export it out of there and save it on your flash drive or somewhere.
Yep.
But
and it's real easy to do, too. So.
But for the most part, that's the nice thing about using online documents is they back it up for you.
Task Assistant did something cool this week. She posted on her website that we had family coming from out of town. She posted on her website. She cleans houses and stuff. And she posted on Twitter, actually, that her client had canceled and does anybody else want the slot for whatever? And my wife took her up on it. And she came over and cleaned our house. So she knows all about our dirty laundry, literally.
But
that was kind of cool. A way to market through Twitter that paid off for
her. That worked. So. Excellent.
Yep.
All right, we're out of time for this month's edition of the Noontime Public Affairs with Rick and Adam answering your tech questions. Had a lot of good questions today in just the short amount of time we had, so it was awesome. Hopefully you'll be with us again next month, same time, same place, third Wednesday of the month from noon to 1 p.m. Thanks for listening. Remember to visit helpmerick.com, and we will talk to you next month.